All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I will be in verse 16 and 17 again. Of course, last week I was not here, but the 2 weeks prior to that I dealt with this verse. We'll try to deal with this verse again today. And I will certainly not exhaust all that's in these two verses. Paul wrote these words, Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Briefly as introduction, because I will not deal in detail with this phrase, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do not think of this in the sense of the Jew was superior and the Gentile inferior, therefore the Jew deserved the gospel first. It had nothing to do with it. This is simply about God's sovereign design.
Amen.
God's sovereign design. And that's about all I'm going to say about that. Let me get into this in earnest. Paul makes clear in this short passage, Paul makes clear that the gospel is limited in scope, intention, and purpose. The gospel is not limited in power, but it is limited in scope, in intention, and purpose. For he makes this statement about the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Amen.
Now I realize that if you or I were to take up various commentaries, however many commentaries we were to read, we would probably get about that many different explanations of this phrase from faith to faith. I understand that. And I don't mean by what I'm going to say this morning to be critical. But this phrase from faith to faith lets us know this. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel.
Yeah.
So this righteousness is revealed from faith. That's a faith that precedes, accompanies, and continues after the gospel.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
But it's to not a different faith, but a different, and this is where, you know, a different aspect, a different facet. There is but one faith.
Exactly.
But it's revealed. That is, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, I will not stand here this morning and try to pick apart what I believe some have wrote or said that does not actually explain this phrase. So, as I said, so far from these two verses, 3 weeks ago we talked about the gospel of Christ. And the gospel is the gospel of God concerning His Son.
Yes, sir.
If you leave the person and work of Christ, you've left the gospel.
Amen. Exactly.
I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
It's not about, and I know this could be misunderstood, it's not about, do I believe that God, through sovereign fiat, spoke the world into existence. That is absolutely true.
Yes, sir.
And if you believe this book, you'll believe that is true.
Amen.
But that in and of itself is not the gospel.
Exactly.
Satan believes that his God created this world with his own words. Satan knows God created him.
Yeah.
And Satan, I said this at a funeral one time, the guy automatically knew I was a Calvinist. Satan can't spit lest God gives him say so.
That's right.
He can't spit. The gospel is about Christ. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the gospel defined. Paul does not define the gospel here. He mentions its power, and that therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to everyone that believeth. But he doesn't deal with the details. I tried to define those details somewhat a couple weeks ago. Today, I want to look at this. This is not my title. Gospel recipients. In other words, here's my title. Here's my subject. Who truly benefits from the gospel? Who truly benefits from the gospel? This book is clear. Reality makes it clear. The book makes it clear. Reality makes it clear. Not all do benefit from the gospel.
You're right.
Is that not a reality?
Yes, sir.
Has everyone who's ever heard the gospel preached benefited from the gospel? No. As a matter of fact, you know the passage. We don't turn to it. Peter says there's some people, it had been better for them not to have heard the way of truth.
Exactly.
That after they've turned, or after they've heard it, to turn from that holy commandment which was delivered unto them.
Amen.
So again I say, Paul makes it clear that the gospel is limited in scope and intention, in purpose, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, rather than me bungling this, you hear what I said? Rather than me bungling this with many words, I just have three passages that I want to give you that show us this truth. Only some benefit from the gospel. Others do not benefit from the gospel. And let me just stop. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Remember, the subject, my title, my subject, is all this. Who truly benefits from the gospel? Hebrews 4, verse 1, the writer says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest," and that rest is the Christ of God. I don't have time to go into this. It's the Christ of God. "Of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Do not ever take this thing for granted."
Exactly.
Don't ever take it for granted.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, I believed this all my life." You're a liar.
Exactly.
You ain't believed this all your life. As one lady told Henry Mahan, or it may have been a man, I don't remember right off. She said, "Well, I've been a believer all my life." He said, "That's impossible."
Exactly.
That's impossible.
That's exactly right.
Hebrews says, "For," here's why we should fear. Take this thing seriously. Do not be flippant or presumptuous about this matter. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them." The context is those Jews in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Those whose carcasses fell in the wilderness because of unbelief.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
"For unto us was the gospel." Now notice it doesn't say we had a gospel preached to us just like they had a gospel preached to them. That's not what he says, is it? "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as the gospel was preached unto them." The same gospel.
That's right.
Now maybe more detail now.
Yep.
And Joe, as you, now we know his name. It is Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord.
Amen.
We know his actual human name, Jesus of Nazareth. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached," that's the gospel now, "but the word preached did not profit them."
Exactly.
Is that what it says?
What it says.
"Did not profit them." Why? Yeah. "Not being mixed." And that word, if you translate it another, you can say commingle.
Yeah.
Like this. "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it."
Amen.
There is a from faith to faith.
Yeah,
now,
exactly right.
Let me rephrase that. This is an illustration of a lack of from faith to faith.
Yeah.
It defines to us what from faith to faith is. When the faith of the gospel, that is the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ, is preached, it must fall upon ground that is a good heart, a heart that God has bestowed life within and faith within. And then we hear this truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, as I said before, it does not state faith comes into existence by hearing. Because faith is eternal. Because faith is a fruit of God. And a fruit of God only. And listen to me, I've said it before, but I was wrong. God don't create faith in His elect when He regenerates and converts them. He gives them faith when He regenerates them. And He gives them faith that is then manifested when they hear the gospel from faith to faith.
Amen.
They believe.
Amen.
They believe. Now someone says, well, then men or women are lost because God don't give them faith. Wrong. Wrong. Men and women are lost because of unbelief.
Amen.
And unbelief is not a lack of faith. Because I am persuaded I have faith right now. But I also know, I also know I have unbelief right now. So faith is not the absence of unbelief. Unbelief is not the absence of faith. Unbelief is positive disbelief in God. Men do not profit from the gospel unless God gives them faith. But men perish because of their unbelief. Now, I have to drop that, right? Because the more I try to explain that, the more I say, well, I will fog the issue. But folks, that is the truth.
Right.
Here's another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this is nothing new, but I was just trying to emphasize. Who truly benefits from the gospel? Not all benefit. Those old Jews back there in the wilderness, not all of them benefited, did they? They perished in the wilderness because of what? Unbelief.
Amen.
Because faith, the faith that's preached in the gospel, must be commingled with faith inside an individual.
Right.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Now, this doesn't mean that the apostle or a prophet or a missionary or a pastor teacher or a believer is going to triumph in everything they do. That is not what he's talking about here. But it don't matter who you are. If you're a believer, apostle, prophet, missionary, an evangelist that calls it in the KJV, a pastor teacher or a believer who's witnessing to someone else of the truth of Christ. When we testify to the truth of the person and work of Christ, it always triumphs.
Amen.
But does that mean everybody that hears it always believes?
There you go.
No.
Right.
I mean, reality proves that to us, does it not? But look, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. In them that are saved and in them that perish.
Amen.
To the one, we're a savor of death unto death. You see, for an unregenerate individual, when they hear the gospel, it is nothing to them but death.
Right.
It is not good news to them,
exactly.
Though it is good news.
Yes, sir.
It is death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And of course the question comes up, and who is sufficient for these things?
Amen.
Who is it? Is it because of the preacher?
No.
Has nothing to do with the preacher. You have three men that preach to you almost every Sunday. We have one missing today, preaching somewhere else. And our styles and manners and delivery is all three different.
Yeah.
All three different. But salvation doesn't depend upon the deliverer who's preaching the message. It depends upon the power of God.
Amen.
Now, God will use live preaching. Some may be listening to me live over electronic devices. Some may hear this not live, but hear it recorded later, Joe.
Yep.
Or some may, because we're not putting this in writing, may read a message written out of men that preached years ago when they didn't even have recording devices.
Yes, sir.
Still the gospel.
Exactly.
And you can read that, and if God Almighty accompanies that in power, and it's the gospel,
yes, sir,
it'll be life unto life.
Amen.
But no matter how true it is, how eloquently delivered or how uneloquently delivered the deliverer gives the message, if that person is dead in trespasses and sins, it will be a message of death unto them. But it's a sweet savor to God in Christ nonetheless.
Amen.
For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, so speak we in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. Is there any question? Is there any question to the reality? Does the gospel benefit everyone? No. No. As a matter of fact, the gospel only adds to some men's condemnation. And I quoted that from Peter. It would've been better for them not to. Does that mean they wouldn't have went to hell? Wouldn't have perished? No, sir. But when a man or woman hears the truth and then disbelieves God, it adds to their condemnation. Now, Mac, what that means in the judgment and in hell, lake of fire, I don't know. But I know God said so. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for some people that Christ preached to and they rejected Him.
Exactly.
Their problem wasn't they didn't have faith. Their problem was they disbelieved God.
Amen.
But the only way the gospel will profit you or I is God gives us faith.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2. Now let's look at starting verse 6. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. What's that mean? Have you ever been confounded, confused when you read the Bible? Yeah, I have. And if you're telling me this morning you ain't, I'm going to call you a liar right now. That's just the way it is. What is it talking about? You will not be ashamed or offended in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's talking about. It doesn't mean you're going to understand all this book. No, you ain't going to understand all this book. And do you therefore which believe he is, what? Precious. And that's the whole thing.
Amen.
I mean, I cannot tell absolutely, but I can tell, at least in some quasi manner, whether Christ is really precious to a person or not. And we'll look at that here in a moment. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. So see, it's not just the absence of believing.
Yeah.
It's not the absence of believing, it is being disobedient that is their problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. God doesn't send men to the lake of fire simply because God was pleased to damn some people. Men and women are damned. They're judged because of their sin and sins against God. Unto you therefore which believe is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, and that's what men do when they're in unbelief concerning Christ, they disallow Him. Oh, they have a spurt of emotion for a little bit. But it don't last. The only time they usually have a spurt of emotion is when somebody else is talking to them about the gospel. We're going to look at, I'm talking about a time when you're by yourself and ain't nobody but you and God around. And God's got you hedged in so that you can't turn up or down or left or right or forward or backward. That's what I'm talking about. Disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed.
Amen.
But there's a group of people that that's not true about. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. How did we get that way? Through an act of God.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time you were no people, but now you've attained what? Mercy. Mercy. Now, three things. I'll give you these three things. I have one passage for each of these three things. I will make some comments from those passages, and then we will close this thing out. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. This is my first point. Mark chapter 16. Now, remember, who truly benefits from the gospel? My first point. Are you there? Mark 16. All are to have the gospel preached unto them.
Yes, sir.
You hear me? All are to have the gospel preached unto them. Someone says, well, and they try to rationalize these things. The natural mind tries to, well, if it's not for all people, why do we preach it to all people? Because we don't know who God's elect people are.
Amen.
We don't know. They don't have a mark on their outside somewhere. They don't wear certain kinds of clothes. There's one of the elect. I'll preach to them. Look at what our Lord told the disciples. In Mark chapter 16, just two verses. And he said unto them, this is Christ speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I ask you, does that mean we go preach to dogs and cats and lizards and snakes? Of course not. That's not what that's talking about. This is talking about humankind. Trees are creatures. Now they may not be sentient creatures as we claim we are. I've heard that phrase before. But there are created things. You don't go preach to the trees. Look, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Again, the natural mind, the unregenerate mind, the unbelieving mind says, well, it must be them because God wants to save every creature. Isn't that a natural conclusion? Yes. It is a natural conclusion. But I'm going to tell you something. These disciples, right at this time, still didn't get the magnitude of what Christ was saying to them.
Right.
Because when Peter had that vision, remember, that sheep come down, all them polywogs, as Earl used to say, and gophers and frogs and catfish, and God said, slay and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I ain't nothing ever unclean entered these lips.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
God wasn't talking about those creatures. He was talking about humankind creatures.
Right.
Now what's the point I'm trying to make? In the Old Testament, it is prophesied that God's people will be scattered throughout all the world.
Yes,
and God would gather them into Christ out from all the world.
Right.
Never ever did God ever declare or preach, never has He preached or declared in this book that He wants to save all humankind without exception. Never. Even John 3:16 lets us know that.
Exactly.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. So therefore, it's only for who? Believers.
That's right.
Believers. And I can say it this way. Christ died for believers.
Yes, sir.
And nobody else. Now, He died for those believers before they were believers, but He died only for believers.
Right.
And they'll all come to believe and believe what? Look. And he that believeth what?
Yeah.
Anything? Everything? Some things? Deep things? Shallow things? Believes Christ.
Amen.
I know it don't say that there, but it says that there.
Yes, sir.
Now, you hear what I'm saying? Because you either believe Christ or you'll perish. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Don't you shrug that off. Don't you shrug that off. Because if you truly believe Christ, you are going into the waters of baptism.
Yes,
you will submit to His command.
Yes, sir.
That's right. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not. And that's all it takes. It's not he that is baptized not. He that believeth not, what does it say? Shall be damned.
Amen.
So Christ is actually telling us here, actually was telling the disciples, this is not a command for me to go into all the world. I can't do that. This is not even a command for this local assembly only to go into all the world. We can't do that. I guess in extent, though, we maybe are now, aren't we? with the electron. There are people maybe in Zimbabwe today listening to me preach. I don't know. Amazing. But yet, what does he say? Some people's not going to believe. Now, what he says here? And they shall be what? Damned. And justly so. It's not a sad consequence from God's perspective. It might be mine if I'm an unbeliever. But God purposed it so. So all are to be preached to. But it's not because God's trying to save everybody. It's because God has His children scattered throughout all the world. Even Ananias preached that and didn't know he was preaching that. When he said it is expedient that this man die not only for this nation, but for the whole world. For everybody. He was saying this man needs to be dead and gone. He's causing too much trouble. But the book tells us he being the high priest that year, spake by the power of the Spirit of God. He didn't know what he was saying, but he was saying that all the children of God should be scattered from all over. Huh? That's what it's about. Here's the second thing. But all preached to will not benefit. Acts chapter 13. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. Paul preaching in Acts 13, we recorded this, now therefore. Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong chapter. Acts chapter 13. Be it known, verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Not that you can have forgiveness of sins, but that forgiveness of sins is wrought by this man.
Amen.
It's preached to you, not offered to you. Amen. It's preached to you. And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things by which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken in the prophets. Some people are going to hear this and will not ever be able to believe. Now, I paraphrase that, but you read it for yourself. Is that what it says? Here's the third thing. Who really benefits? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Now, my time is about up as far as time for a TV broadcast. So those who may just hear it on TV, if you want to hear the rest of it, you'll just have to go back. This will all be recorded, God willing. But I'm going to park here for just the next last few minutes. Who really benefits from the gospel? 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And folks, and I'm not saying this because I think people don't, let's pray for one another. Why? Because God delights in it.
Amen.
Not because we're going to move God to do something. But God delights in us calling upon Him prayer and saying, God, we can't do it. You've got to do it.
Amen.
That's what prayer is. Now, it ain't what my prayers always, but usually my prayers are telling God what I want to happen.
Yeah. Right.
How about you? Well, God, this is not what I want. I want this, I want that. And that's not what we're talking about. It's not the prayer I'm talking about. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, how is that possible? This book teaches that the election, when God chose the people, and He chose the people, I'm not debating that. I used to want to argue about that. I don't argue about that with people anymore. And I hope to God I don't start back up again. God chose His people in Christ before the world began.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And He doesn't have their names written down for us to read. But He has their names written down.
Yeah.
And it's the Lamb's Book of Life. That Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So how can you know that a person is elect? It's not about believing in election. It's about believing Jesus Christ because God chose you to do so. That's what it's about. So how could Paul say to these Thessalonians, I know God chose you. Here it is. For our gospel came not to you in word only. Now it must come in word in some fashion.
Yes, sir.
In some fashion. If a person is physically deaf, Joe, they will probably find some kind of Braille, a message of the gospel in Braille. Don't you figure? Now, could God give them a vision? Maybe so, but that vision better be the truth of God as recorded in this scripture.
Exactly.
I'm not going to try to put God in a box, but the Word has to come in Word in some way. But our gospel came not to you in Word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. This power is the same word that Paul used in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is not in the preacher. The power is not in the preacher. I was born and raised that when a man got to a certain fevered pitch and was preaching and, you know, animated and, boy, wasn't that a powerful delivery of that message. That's not what we're talking about. It might have been a powerful delivery of a message. And it may be a powerful delivery of a false message. It's not in the power of the person doing the preaching. It's in God Almighty attending the truth being preached in the gospel. And this gospel will conquer your soul. We get our word dynamite from the Greek word. In other words, God's going to blow you apart.
Yeah.
He's going to blow you apart.
Yes, sir.
For our gospel came not to you in word only. A person that this happens to, let's say they're here this morning, and this happens to, they ain't going to be able to forget it tomorrow or the next day or let it slide. You know, let me tell you something. You leave out of here, it bothers you for a while. And then you just go on about your merry way and you just start doing what you always did. That wasn't the gospel and the power of God. When the gospel comes, if the gospel comes to you as the power of God and in the Holy Ghost, you won't be able to get away from it even if you run like Jonah. Where gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Much assurance of what? Much assurance that you're nothing but a corrupt rebel against God. You'll be assured of that.
Yeah, right.
God will make you to taste of that, and you won't be able to get that nasty taste out of your mouth.
Yes, sir.
That's right. But also much assurance that God's Christ is the only Redeemer. God's Christ is my only hope. And much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Look, and ye became followers. Now, it amazed me when I first, it dawned on me how Paul wrote this. You became followers of us and of the Lord.
Amen.
Did he put us first? Talking of himself and other gospel preachers because they were more preeminent than the Lord? No. But your first point of contact with God's truth is going to be another sinner that he saved by his grace.
Amen. That's right.
And if God sends you one man or a woman for that matter, Not a woman pastor, now, but a woman telling you the truth. If God sends you one or 15, and they all, God is pleased to use them all to bring that gospel to you, and it's in the power of God in the Holy Spirit, you'll love each and every one of those people.
Yes, sir.
I love Charles Spurgeon, but I never met the man. He was dead when I was born. But you know why I love him? Because God used his preaching of the gospel to at least begin a converting point in my soul.
Yes.
And then I turned around and criticized him.
Yep. That's us.
How inconsistent are we? But you became followers of what? Of us? No, little, don't tell me that you're a follower of the Lord if you don't want to be around God's people. Now just quit fooling yourself. Quit deceiving yourself. Quit leaning on your profession and your knowledge of doctrine. If you don't want to be with God's people, you're not one of God's people. You got to spend eternity with His people. Granted, they'll be better folk when eternity comes. But if you don't want to spend eternity with them, if you don't want to spend time with them now, you ain't going to spend time with them in eternity. And I say that not to be mean. I say that because I care about men and women's souls.
Yes,
and this coronavirus has exposed a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people. But you know what I found out? Those who loved the gospel before the virus hit still love the gospel now and make every effort they can, things hinder, to be with God's people. It's the ones who said, well, I just can't do it. That coronavirus is too dangerous. My spouse this, or me this. They're the ones that never was come start with. They had other excuses now. Now they think they got a reason. Somebody, preacher, you're being mean. No, I'm being as loving as any fallen son of Adam could ever be to another fallen son or daughter of Adam. Yeah. Trying to tell you the truth about ourselves and the truth about Jesus Christ. Look, you became followers of us and of the Lord. Now here's it. Having received the word in much affliction. What's he talking about? Now, does he mean when the gospel was being preached, there were people out banging on the window saying, that's a bunch of lies. We hate that old Jew Paul. Don't listen to him. Is that what he's talking about? No. This word affliction comes from a Greek word which means a real narrow, deep trench. And the implication is you're in that trench and you're stuck.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, when God Almighty sends His gospel to you in power and in the Holy Ghost, He will put you down in that ditch. Stuck! And you can't move up, down, right, left, back, or forward. You're going to be shut up unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it, your sin and your sins will haunt you. You will come to understand to some degree, I deserve to go to hell. If God puts me in hell, there's not a merit one I could offer to Him. Because even my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. God's going to hem you in before He ever turns you loose.
Yeah. Amen.
God's going to make you know you're lost before He ever saves you. God's going to make you to know how naked you are in righteousness before Him before He ever clothes you with the righteousness of Christ. You got to know you're a sinner, an ungodly sinner, before He ever makes you a saint.
Yeah. Amen.
A saint. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. This is with joy of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
I don't think you realize that right at first. No. You know what I mean? When God hems you in, it ain't a happy place to be.
Exactly.
I mean, I remember I was reading the Bible one day. No, nobody was preaching to me. Oh, wait a minute, they were.
Yeah.
Isn't the Apostle Paul a preacher? Is this not the Word of God? Now, I'm not saying just any old blow joke and read this and decide I'm going to find God out. That's not what I'm talking about. But you don't have to hear me preaching live. God can stick your face in this book and then stick you down in that trench.
Yes, sir.
Hem you in. And I remember God hemming me in. And Joe, I didn't even really know Christ yet. But God began to show me how corrupt I was. And I was at that time a young preacher who had given up all the things you're supposed to give up and was trying to take on all the things you're supposed to take on. And Mac, he made me to know you are nothing in my sight in yourself. And that wasn't a pleasant place to be. But when God began to reveal to me the person and work of His Son, there was joy in the Holy Ghost, wasn't it? What else? Is going to leak out on you, as Earl used to say. Other believers are going to recognize this. Go ahead and read it. You became examples, not to all of your idolatrous friends, though, to all that believe. It looks like God's done something for them folk. That's what He's talking about. And then look, verse 9, for they themselves show of us what mattering of entering in we had unto you, because God uses this means. You despise them. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to believe what that preacher says because I don't like his manners. I hope that's true.
Yeah.
I hope you can come to despise my manners but love my Lord. And love me in spite of my manners. You understand what I'm saying? Some men that stand behind this desk or other desks may be far more amicable and loving than I am, but Joe, it's not about us.
Exactly.
And I'm afraid there's some folk, they started believing the gospel because they like the preacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like his delivery. They like his style. No, you've got to be following Christ.
Exactly.
You got this. It's us and the Lord. Boy, I love that preacher. Do you love Christ?
There you go.
And I know some of you have experienced this before. And I don't mean to throw off on it, but God, but no, no. Henry Mahan, God used that man in our age and is still using that man, though he's dead, to bless many of his people and call out many of his people in this world. But some of you one time heard some folks at a conference basically say, in a ladies' restroom, I believe it was, that, well, basically, I don't know why all these others preach, y'all just have Henry preach. That's basically what was said. That scares me. There are some men that I like to listen to better than others. But I know the problem is in here. The problem's not with those other men. The problem is in here. As a matter of fact, Paul is clear in 1 Corinthians 3, that is walking as a man in the flesh. When you brag about the preacher rather than the Christ he's trying to preach. Here's another hallmark who it really benefits. And to wait for his son from heaven. Here's the question. Are you just waiting to die? Or are you waiting for his son from heaven? Are you just waiting for the rapture? Or are you waiting for his son from heaven? See, that's the question. Because either way, Christ will come and get you. Whether he takes you in death or he takes you in the rapture. He gonna come and get you. And God's people are looking forward to that day. I will not be here forever. I don't know who will be here when I'm gone or who won't be here when I'm gone. But I will not be here forever if this world stands for another 50 years. As a matter of fact, most every one of us is going to be gone. And there may be nothing here. Somebody may come along and level this building. You understand what I'm saying? But the God we're preaching is calling out his people by the gospel.
Amen.
And folks, I thank God for you.
Yes, sir.
Because this small group, we don't know, this small group God has been pleased to use all over this world.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's amazing me. It is. You know, I told you, no, we're not going to give out everybody the codes to the get on sermon audio, but some of us could get on sermon audio and we see all the places that hears me and Joe and Paul preach the gospel. Other men?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how many preachers do you know that has two TV broadcasts and ask other men to come in and preach messages for that TV broadcast? How many do you know? You know why I want to do that? Because I know it ain't about me. I know it maybe God might use that man to call out one of his people. It may not be ordained for me to do it. It ain't about me.
That's right.
I know there are people who think it is, but it ain't about me. It's about Christ.
Amen.
Father, bless us by the preaching of thy truth and the power of thy Holy Spirit and thy gospel. In Christ's name, amen.